This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
So on a Sunday night, I'd be sitting there with a glass of wine, like swirling my glass of wine, thinking, there goes my happiness for another 4 days. But if you've always got this window of happiness, say on a Thursday night, and that's where you think happiness resides, it's like this rainbow that's got, you think it's got a pot of gold at the end of it, but it doesn't, you know. But what your alcohol is the biggest restrictor of happiness, because once you remove that, you find happiness everywhere. So, and as far as dopamine goes, like I don't chase it as much anymore because I'm just so content and my life's just level and consistent. And I wake up every morning, you know, 7-8 hours sleep. I go to the gym every other morning, and if I'm not going to the gym, I bounce out of bed, I'd have a cup of coffee and get in the car, drive. I sing every morning to myself on the way to work, like just sing karaoke songs. I'm just very, very happy now. So I don't know if I've chased the dopamine as, like, I don't think my brain's actually wired. I think my brain was wired then, but I think your brain can reset your pleasure receptors in your brain, definitely. Because all those betting and drinking was just fake highs. It wasn't happiness, you know.
That is this week's guest on Over the Influence, Niall Davison, approaching 500 days alcohol-free. Niall is a much-loved community member. He joined the Over the Influence community back in August 2023. He's made a stack of new friends within the community, loads of which join us for this week's recording. Niall has got so much to share. It's just a fantastic listen. Throughout the course of the episode, Niall talks about alcohol addiction. He talks about gambling addiction as well. So if this is something that you are affected by, you can find a lot of information online, support services for gambling addiction on the NHS website and also at gamblersanonymous.org.uk. Let's get into this week's episode.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Becky, and I was a typical grey area drinker. I'd managed to do several stints of alcohol-free life, but would regularly falter around the three-month mark. This time, I joined the fabulous OTI community, and it was just what I needed. The Zooms were a game changer for me, connecting with people who relate and support you through the struggles, but who also really understand and celebrate the importance and the significance of the mini wins and the milestones. OTI is full of amazing people. I'm just approaching 7 months alcohol-free, and I feel absolutely fantastic.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It is marvellous to have you listening. We know it's going to be a good one today because it features one of our fabulous Over the Influence community members. My name is Sharon Hartley. I'm based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. 6+ years now alcohol free. It's ace. Wasn't always ace and it wasn't always easy, but if you stick with it and you trust the process and you just flipping go for it, honestly, it's quite life-changing. Insert Ben's gag here. I used to drink a lot too fast, too quickly and far too often. I took a break from booze back end of summer in 2018, and I'm still here now wanging on about sobriety week in, week out. It's ace. And what's really ace and what's really thrown me a little bit is the amount of community members, Ben, watching this call. There's flipping loads of them.
You're all of a fluster, aren't you? You got a bit kind of, you couldn't believe how many people are joining this call for the fabulous Niall. And I'm not surprised at all, because you'll hear from Niall very shortly. He's honest, he's inspiring, he is wise, and I'll tell you what, he brings in the numbers. It's great to see you all here on the call today. I'm Ben, I'm 36, I live in Liverpool, I'm 4 years alcohol free. I didn't mean to give up booze, but it's the best decision I ever made. Shaz, the bit where you said insert gag here is because you talked about the life-changing magic of quitting alcohol without referencing your book out on the 2nd of January 2025. For those who've just joined us, there we go. That's now done. Stop drinking, start living.
You.
Yeah, that's a tagline. Shall we get to the inspiring, the honest and the wise Niall from Belfast?
Let's do that. Yeah. Niall Davison, one of our community members, joined us. I hope I've got this right. I think it was August 2023, well over 450 days alcohol free. Joining us now to talk all about this and the decision you made. Niall, before we get into it all, okay, first question, how does it feel sitting here now on Over the Influence, seeing all your mates from the community joining you and showing up for this call?
Yeah, it's a bit surreal, Shaz. Yeah. I think just over a year ago, I didn't know any of these guys at all. I didn't know you two either. Like, I only started listening to the podcast, you know, in August 23. So, and now I've got all these amazing friends, like genuine friends, like lifelong friends. So, yeah, it's quite humbling that they've showed up in so many numbers to support me. But they're my teammates, you know. So, yeah, we're all one big team, aren't we? So, yeah.
Niall, thank you so much. I don't even know if I said that in the intro where you're from. You're based just outside Belfast. And I'm just reading back over some of the information you sent us here. And I don't think an hour is actually going to be enough to cover all this, but we will try our very, very bestest. You said that giving up alcohol wasn't even on my radar until my early 40s. Can we start with that and maybe why and what life looked like, you know, up until your early 40s as Niall the drinker?
Yeah, I mean, I started drinking at sort of 13 years old. I was always a sort of shy kid, timid, but I was popular. Like, I had a lot of friends, a lot of different groups of friends, and girls were quite interested in me from a young age, but I never had the confidence to talk to them, you know, and that's just alcohol just gave me this confidence. Like, but it was always very quiet, and even in my football manager used to call me Big John, as in Big John Wayne, the quiet man. But I'm sure, like, everyone sees my posts in OTI and, like, sober karaoke and probably think I'm a bit of an extrovert, but it's completely the opposite. So, yeah, I started drinking at 13, went to university in Durham in England. I lived in Stockton-on-Tees for 3 years. Don't know if Bethany's on the call there, but she's from Stockton. Yeah, it was three of the best years of my life, but I drank every single day I was at university. Like, and I mean every single day. And that's when I became a pickle, pretty much. You know, you become a cucumber, becomes a pickle, can't be a cucumber again. I'm pretty sure that's when I became a pickle. And I can tell you some very funny stories about university, but to get the my late 30s, sort of early 40s, I just got to a stage and I was about 36 and I went to visit my granddad in his care home, and he was dying. He was 96 years old, and he had this big double bed and this big sort of penthouse room in his care home because he was quite a wealthy man. And it just occurred to me, like, Jesus, this isn't so bad. I mean, if I get the 96, I could still eat, I think, half a drunk bottle of white wine on his bedside table, and he had a copy of the Times. He had the football on, like, Chelsea and Arsenal was the early kickoff. Marcus Alonso had just scored for Chelsea in a header. Yeah, so I remember it quite well and just thought, Jesus, if I get the 96, this could be all right. I could be, you know, I could live in sort of some sort of luxury. You know, I could be drinking and betting. And then I just had this realization, like, well, what are you doing with your life? Is this what it's going to be? I mean, is this what it's going to say in your gravestone? You know, he placed a few bets, drank a few pints. You know, is that it? Is that what your life is? And I sort of, from that moment on, I sort of went in this sort of, if I'm being pretentious, I call it a journey of discovery. If I'm being realistic, it was more like a pre-early midlife crisis. I started thinking, like, what's this life all about? What's the meaning of life? And by the way, I think I know what it is. If you want to ask me at the end of the podcast, I'll let you in on the secret.
Do we have to wait to the end? Because, I mean, you yes. know, it feels like that's a okay, fine.
Well, it gives me 45 minutes.
Okay, 40 minutes. I'll write down meaning of life. Okay, cool. We'll come back.
Don't forget to ask him, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but nothing really changed in my life, because like a lot of men, I think you get stuck in this sort of learned helplessness of living for the weekend. For me, it was betting and drinking. It's just, especially betting, sort of overtook my life. But I was like a Thursday to Sunday drinker. And then when I went on a binge with like on a work night out or lads weekend away, I would properly hammer it. And those started to catch up with me when I was in sort of late 30s, early 40s. And I started to get these really bad delayed hangovers. Like I would call them like tsunami hangovers, because I'd be fine in the morning, wake up, have a few cups of coffee, have something to eat. I could read 50 pages of a book, paint the fence, wash the car. And then about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, you know, I would just turn white and I would need to be sick. So I'd be sick in the toilet and I'd be throwing up. My head would be turning red because there was so much pressure going to my head. And then my nose would start to bleed. So, and both nostrils would be vomiting out my mouth, and then vomiting blood out my nostrils and the sweat. And then I'd probably start crying as well. So just all these bodily fluids. And I started getting maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And just on the nosebleeds, I always had nosebleeds from when I was a kid. Always had bad nosebleeds. And funny enough, since I stopped drinking, I haven't had a single nosebleed. But so I had these really bad hangovers. And then I was also searching for the meaning of life. And then come 2022... I had one really bad trip to Torremolinos with my mates when I was just a mess for a week afterwards. This chronic heartburn, the tsunami hangovers, had to go to see a doctor on the Thursday, and just was hallucinating and sleep deprived. It was just horrific. Then in 2022, a few things happened that made me question my drinking. The first was... I was out with my mates for the League Cup final. I'm a big Liverpool fan, so Liverpool were playing Chelsea, and Liverpool won in penalties. And we went out that night and we're celebrating with the little Irish bar called The Points in Belfast. And I don't remember getting home, but I remember coming through the door, and I was trying not to wake Leanne up, my wife Leanne, and the dogs. As the dogs start barking, then to wake Leanne up, and the dogs stayed quiet. So I thought, oh, happy days, I'll sneak into the spare room here. But I didn't want to go to the bathroom because we'd wake Leanne up. So what I did, I went to the kitchen and I really needed to pee. So I was decided this was a really good idea to pee in a pint glass. So I'm standing pissing into this pint glass and just go pour it down the sink. And all I hear is, what the fuck are you doing? And I turn around and Leanne's standing there. Right? So, I couldn't stop mid flow, so I was like so embarrassed, and I was like, I didn't even know what to say. I was like Vicky Pollard, like, yes, but no, but yes. And so the next day we had a bit of a laugh about it, like, but she told me, well, you're 41, you're not 21, you got to grow up, you know, and it was fair game. And later in the year, then. I think I've told you about this before, Ben, where I was on a trip to Liverpool to see Liverpool play, and the next day we're coming home, was at John Lennon Airport. I had another one of these hangovers where I was being sick in the toilet, the nose started to bleed, I was covered in blood, I just looked like I'd been beaten up, and I was like, worried I wasn't going to get on the plane. And I just think, what are you doing with your life, you know? Then the last thing in 2022 then, which started to question myself, was I was at my niece Karis's pantomime, and my brother Ross had invited me and my mum out for dinner before it. So we went for dinner, and it's within walking distance of my house. So I knew I'd be drinking with dinner. So I had a glass of wine, a couple of beers with dinner, but I knew that if I went to this pantomime, I would be craving drink because I'd started drinking. I know, like, if I was driving and I wasn't drinking, it would be okay, but... So to combat that, I had this clever idea that I was going to bring gin and tonic in a water bottle. So I brought like 2 water bottles full of gin and tonic. So I'm sitting there surreptitiously sneaking gin and tonic while watching my niece's pantomime in a church hall. And at the time, like, it didn't even register in me, Shaz. Like, I wasn't even, like, this was just forward thinking. This was just a good plan. You know, I even told Ross, my brother, about it. You know, it was his daughter, and it was in the, you know. And then so looking back with sober eyes, I was just thinking, well, if you're sort of sneaking gin and tonic at a kid's pantomime. Maybe it's a bigger issue than you think it is, you know. So in 2023, I read actually quit betting for 4 months in 2020, at the end of 2022. I was reading some really good books, like Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. I know a lot of guys in the forum have read it. I read it in 2022, and it was the one book that really started to question my drinking. Like, this is messing up my sleep, which is messing up the rest of my life. So 2023, another bad hangover when I was away with my brothers and my cousin up the North Coast. And the week after, I started to Google, you know, books on sobriety. And that's when I found Catherine Gray's book. I read it on holiday with my wife, and I told my wife during the holiday that I'm thinking I'm going to try this 100 days. And here we are.
Niall, right, where do we start? So the stories that you just told us there, the weeing into a pint glass and being caught by Leanne and sneaking gin and tonic into a pantomime, they're the kind of stories that, you know, if it was told in the group of lads, it would be like, oh, you did what, mate? Oh, no way. Wow, oh, that's so funny. Oh, you're pissing your pint glass. Well, I don't like it going to wine glass. It's not something that I have never weed in any glass. This is not like I'm springing back a memory.
Sure,
Yeah, pint glass. But those are the kind of stories that I think I can imagine being told in a kind of lads group and then being almost celebrated. You're looking back at them now, you know, just coming up to 500 days alcohol free, thinking, oh, not sure how I feel about that version of me. I know that you're a big football fan. I know that you've got a big group of lad mates, and I know that you've been kind of raised in a culture surrounded by men.
Men's men, bloaty men. We go to the pub and we do this.
Apart from with an Irish accent, obviously. As part of that, we've talked before about gambling. Is that something you're happy to talk about today in terms of where that got to for you? Because it feels like it's all part of the same culture.
Yeah. And the thing is, Ben, I wasn't a bad gambler. Like, I had a tipping column on Facebook with about 1,000 members on it. And I was a good judge of a horse. Like, I'm banned from every bookmaker, online bookmaker in the country, you know, because I won. I was in profit over the course of 12 years. So, but it's just the realization that no matter how much I won, there was never any fulfillment or happiness with it. Like, I could be sitting at the end of the Cheltenham Festival winning, you know, maybe 5-10 grand, and it would be that initial euphoria where your horse crosses the line in front. And I might have planned this bet like a year in advance and used like a bank account for this horse. And then there's this euphoria, and it's like, yes, I've done it. And there's just this drop, this emptiness, and it's just like, so what now, you know? And it's just understanding dopamine now as well, because like, when you go to have that first pint, you know, you think that moment, but everyone thinks that's the alcohol, but it's not the alcohol, because it takes about 20 minutes to get into your system. So that's actually just dopamine. And one of the beauties I've found in this alcohol-free life is that I'm sitting here with a glass of Erdinger, you know, AF Erdinger, and you still get that from an Erdinger. But yeah, the gambling side of things, I was a good gambler, but yeah, there's just no fulfillment in it. And it's all a lot, so many parallels with gambling and betting, that a lot of it is dopamine. A lot of it's the thrill of the chase. Then we actually get it. There's this big dip. And with alcohol, you can always try and reach that spike by having another drink, but then the dip gets lower, the spike gets lower, the dip gets lower again, the spike gets lower again. And then you eventually black out or whatever, you know. And so, like, when we go on our lads' holiday to Tormolinos, like, we meet at 4:30 in the morning. I would have 3 or 4 pints of Moretti before I get on the plane, like between 4:30 and 7. Get on the plane, I've had probably 4 gin and tonics on the plane. There's a little beer hut at Malaga Airport. I have a beer there, get picked up, have a couple of beers at the poolside, go for lunch to the marina, have 4 or 5 drinks, and you move on from, you know, from beer, the spirits, the cocktails, the wine, go in another little mini bar crawl down by the seafront, have another probably 4 or 5 drinks, go back to the room, get changed, have a few beers while you're getting changed, go out in the evening, have dinner, have another 3 or 4 drinks, go to the Irish bar to watch the football, have another 4 or 5 drinks, and then we end up in the Fat Fajita karaoke bar where you can have from 11 o'clock to 2:30 in the morning. So you can have anything between another 6 and 12 drinks there. So see, if you add up all those drinks, they, you're talking between 25 and 40 drinks in a 22-hour period. Now, if you convert that into what, into units, I guess, like, I think there's 3.4 units in a pint of Moretti. And all those, you know, those free pour cocktails on holiday, there's at least 3 units in that. So you're talking, you're talking somewhere between 75 and 120 units of alcohol. And you wake up the next day and you do that all over again for 3 days in a row. So if the government's recommended intake of alcohol is 14 units, so if you divide 300 by 14, you get 21. That's almost a half a year's worth of the recommended, you know, half a year's worth of alcohol in 3 days. And that's the way, and that's the way lads drink, Ben. That's, and that, you may think you guys are, people listening to this probably think, oh, you guys are excessive, you guys are crazy. But I'm telling you, this is the norm. This is how middle-aged men drink. If you go to Belfast International Airport any morning this week, there'll be a queue out the door at 5 a.m. in the morning. You know, everyone's doing it. It's stupid, it's reckless, and it's dangerous.
I think this is what I wanted to come on to, because you were drinking to excess. You know, there's big numbers in terms of the units that you've talked about there. You say that you're a good gambler, but again, you know, it's big numbers there. You know, that was to excess. Would you say that you were addicted to gambling, Niall, or not?
100%.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was addicted to smoking when I was in my 20s. I was addicted to, I'm addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to gambling. Like, yeah. And I know some people have a problem saying that the word addiction with alcohol. Like, a lot of people say, oh, I'll have like 5 bottles away in a week, but I wouldn't say I'm addicted. Like, it's like, I always think that, do you remember the Shaz? Do you remember Mrs. Merton, you know, Caroline Ahern?
Yeah, remember she wonderful. Remember she
asked Debbie McGee, so what was it that first attracted you to the millionaire Paul Daniels?
It was, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, but that's, like, so my question is, like, why do you think you're addicted to this extremely addictive substance that you've been drinking every week since you were 13 years old? Do you know, of course you're f***ing addicted to it. We're all addicted to it, you know, yeah, see, people even in this alcohol-free space, I know what they say, like, I wouldn't say I was addicted. I was like, really? Like, do you not think so?
But I also think, Niall, that you don't, and I'm speaking from my experience here, you don't think you're addicted at the time while you're, you know, up to your neck in it. For me, it was hindsight. So when I did stop drinking and I looked back, thought, oh yeah, okay, yeah, of course there was a problem. But I want to pick up as well on what Ben's talking about there about the gambling addiction and alcohol addiction. How much were the two related to one another?
Yeah, it's that lads culture again. Sorry, I didn't answer your question there, Ben, properly, but yeah, I think the two go hand in hand. They're two sides of a double-edged sword. So I think a lot of, I'm tempted to say young men, but it's not, like, if you walk into a bookies, it's from teenagers through to granddads, you know, it's, men have a serious problem, and the two go hand in hand. The drinking fuels the gambling, and the gambling fuels the drinking. And
but then, you know, it's in terms of gender, like, how many adverts do you see that are very clearly aimed at women? And it's those kind of slot machine kind of ads, get online. The reason I wanted to talk about it, Niall, is because what you were contending with then was two very powerful addictions there, alcohol and gambling. And when you're talking about that kind of quick dopamine, two things that could provide that, albeit with massive, massive risk to it. But the two really, like, in terms of kind of two very powerful things, also two very consuming, all-consuming things. And I think that what I'd love to talk about is, do you think that your brain then requires more dopamine than the average brain? And what do you do now I mean, I know you've got many abs, so that might be the answer. But how have you replaced that? He's got abs everywhere, this guy. Seriously, you can only see his head on Zoom.
He's got abs, actually, on his abs.
Yeah.
He really has.
He's got
Niall, I'm sorry, but he was going to come up at some point.
He's got a six-pack on every pack. He's 36-pack, Niall's got. He has. Sorry, Niall.
Mikey's far more ripped than me, and he's younger and he's better looking. But he always gets off. It's always you talk about my abs.
Yeah, we'll come back to Mikey.
Mikey's
time,
one of our community members on Zoom. Yeah, yeah. And he's got also many abs. Anyway, sorry. Back to the serious question.
Right, we digress. Bring it back.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Who knows?
I'm thinking about Mikey's abs now. Can we just not? Right.
Oh, is that why you say sweaty?
Gambling,
alcohol, dopamine. You know, two very all-consuming things there. And, you know, how do you, the first question was, do you think that your brain therefore requires more dopamine than the average brain? Was question number one.
I don't know, Ben, because I've only got one brain and I've never had another one. So I don't know. my brain, I find, I'm just happy to read books now, and I'm happy to write. I write a lot. I love writing. When I did my tipping column, absolutely loved it. It's the one thing that was I really applied myself to it, and I was quite good at it. I made a lot of spelling mistakes and grammar mistakes, but yeah, I find that fills the void for me now. But there's just the peace and contentment in my life now than what it was, because when I was betting especially, I would always be somewhere else. If I was having a conversation with anyone, including my wife, I would always be 20% somewhere else. Constantly checking my phone for what the weather forecast at Ascot was, or the price of a horse. And so I was my brain was just switched to that constantly. And with the drinking, it was more this Thursday to Sunday drinkings. So on a Sunday night, I'd be sitting there with a glass of wine, swirling my glass of wine, thinking, a glass of red wine, thinking, there goes my happiness for another 4 days. But if you've always got this window of happiness, say on a Thursday night, and that's where you think happiness resides, it's like this rainbow that's got, you think it's got a pot of gold at the end of it, but it doesn't, you know. But alcohol is the biggest restrictor of happiness. Because once you remove that, you find happiness everywhere. So, and as far as dopamine goes, I don't chase it as much anymore because I'm just so content and my life's just level and consistent. And I wake up every morning, it's 7-8 hours of sleep. I go to the gym every other morning. And if I'm not going to the gym, I bounce out of bed, have a cup of coffee and get in the car, drive, sing every morning themselves on the way to work, just sing karaoke songs. I'm just very, very happy now. So I don't know if I chase the dopamine. I don't think my brain's actually wired. I think my brain was wired, Ben, but I think your brain can reset your pleasure receptors in your brain, definitely. Because all those betting and drinking was just fake highs. It wasn't happiness, you know.
Back to the gambling and the betting. So you stopped drinking coming up for 500 days ago, 450 odd days. Absolutely brilliant. Do you still gamble, or did that stop when the alcohol stopped?
I initially took a break. It was December. So I took a month off alcohol in November 2022, and I decided to take a month off gambling in December 2022. But that month gambling lasted 4 months initially, and then it was the Cheltenham Festival, and I came back for the Cheltenham Festival week, and then I sort of moderated for the next year or so, and I actually did manage to moderate my betting. I would only have 2 bets a month maybe, and I just sort of completely cut down on it. And then it was just after this year's Cheltenham Festival, I had a few bets at the Cheltenham Festival, and I just realized this actually isn't bringing me any sort of joy anymore. You know, I've moved on. You know, I felt like I've evolved as a person, and I don't need this. I don't chase this adrenaline rush anymore. So, Yeah.
And how hard was it to do that? Because I think this is actually the first time on the podcast with any guests that we've actually talked about the link between alcohol and gambling.
It's really interesting to talk about as well, because we haven't talked about it before, but it's a bit like,
no, we haven't.
Alcohol and people smoke more when they drink. Like, no, I stopped gambling years ago years before I quit alcohol, because I realized that I, again, like everything else, I'd go to, it started off, how stupid is this? It started off because we used to go out in Birmingham, and if you went to the casino on Broad Street, they'd give you free sandwiches at the end of the night. So we'd go and get a free sandwich, and then obviously spend 50 flipping quid or whatever on the table that we didn't have, you know. And
there was nothing free about it.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's like, I have to just, same with alcohol, it's just a no. Like, I don't do that. And even, you know, we work at the Grand National every year. And actually, as I get a bit older, this isn't the conversation for now, but, you know, it's kind of, like, I went to the Grand National this year to work it. Like, I went to an event and then I went to check on the team. I didn't actually see any racing. And it's part of a kind of moral thing there for me, actually, as I get a bit older. But, you know, this is a completely different conversation. But, you know, I do have that kind of blanket, well, I don't do it. You know, that's something that I, whether it's horses, whether it's the casino, whether it's football, like, I've never, ever downloaded a betting app onto my phone, because that's a blanket rule that I have. Like, I know that it's very easy for me to get carried away with everything. So therefore, I just don't do it. Sorry, I jumped in there. I didn't mean to talk for that long. But Shaz, what did you ask?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. But I want to ask you, Niall, how hard has it been then? Because, you know, when you talked about your alcohol consumption, we're talking a lot. And the physical impact that had on you with the, as you called it, a tsunami hangover, really horrific, as bad as it gets. When you talked about the fact that you were, I'm going to use the term, successful gambler, in inverted commas. I don't know anything about gambling, but we were talking about big numbers there. To stop those two things hand in hand, what was that like? You know, Ben's touched on it with the, you know, with the culture and being out with the lads, that sort of thing. But the actual process of tackling two addictions there, that cannot have been easy. And yet here you are approaching 500 days alcohol free and no longer gamble, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Do you know what it was, Shaz? It was freedom. Honestly, when I quit betting, it was only meant to be for a month, right? And then I realised just how much more free brain space I had, you know. And I remember sitting down to watch, like, I remember watching Ireland against France in the rugby union in the I think it must have been February, you know, 2023, and I hadn't had a bet. And, like, I hadn't watched rugby in years, because, like, I wouldn't, or if I did watch it, I would have a bet just to keep me interested. And I remember watching it thinking, Jesus, this is brilliant sport. You know, like, I used to play rugby when I was at school, and I hated it, like, but I was good at it. You know, I did all the kicking. But, and then when I could play football in fourth year, I left and did football. But, and then I was watching an early kickoff between Aston Villa and Arsenal. I think it was 4-2 to Arsenal. Sorry, Ben. And it just
good now. It's okay.
I just watching this. I think Martinelli scored in the last couple of minutes, and I just remember thinking, Jesus, I'm really enjoying watching this game of football without having a bet. And I started to get these flashbacks of when I was a kid, and like, I remember these days at the beach with my family and Christmas time with family, and then me and my mate Johnny he'd come around to my houses when we were like 13 years old, and my dad was in bands, and we used to have this stereo hooked up, and we'd make this, like, mix tapes and sing and take the piss out of my older brother. And when we get together now, we always reminisce about those days when we were 12 and 13, but there was no alcohol involved, you know. So me and my five mates who got together at secondary school, for the first 2 years, we didn't know each other before secondary school, but we had 2 years before we started drinking, you know. So we obviously liked each other enough, and we became close in those 2 years before we started drinking. Then the drinking takes over. And then when I told them I'm not drinking anymore, it's like, I think they initially thought, oh, we've lost one of our boys, we've lost him, he's gone, you know. But then when I go on holiday and still enjoy myself, still do the karaoke and all that, they realise, no, I'm still the same stupid kid I was when I was 12 or 13. And I started to crave that, that freedom of not being like, well, it's gambling, alcohol, social media. I quit social media 4 years ago too. They're just puppet masters and you're just the puppet on the string. So one by one, I've just cut them. Cut Paddy Power, cut, Mark Zuckerberg, cut Jack Dorsey or Elon Musk or whatever, then cut alcohol. Alcohol was the last one and the most important one. Of course, it's always the last one, isn't it? But now I'm just completely free. Shaz, I don't know if that answers your question, but it's just freedom and peace of mind, and no one is my puppet master anymore.
I love that, Niall. It's great to hear that. I think, look, this last thing we'll say on the gambling thing, because we've got lots of other things to talk about, including the meaning of life, which I haven't forgotten about. No, we will get back to it. But it's interesting. Like, I've got a mate here in Liverpool who runs a support group, drug and alcohol. I mean, mainly drugs. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I moved to Liverpool how prevalent cocaine was. And I know this happens everywhere, but the reason I'm talking about it is because people will come to him and say, look, I need to stop doing cocaine. And he'll say, okay, great. You do realize you've got to stop drinking as well. And it's very clear. They haven't come to talk to him about that. But he says, look, if you want to quit that, then you've got to quit the booze too. And I wonder if these kind of, like, people who have gambling addictions, I wonder if that same message would help them potentially. Is there a link there? Are all these, like you're saying, you snip, how much of it is actually interlinked?
You're right about the drinking and cocaine. Like, one feeds the other, so it's just like muscle memory almost, so once you get to a certain stage, I could do with a bag, or I could do with a joint, or like, I went through this period in the mid the 20s to mid 30s where I sniffed a ridiculous amount of poppers. It just became this thing that we all just wanted to have a laugh, and that's all we ever wanted to do. We smoked a lot of weed at university and we started different poppers, and you just laugh your head off. Like, but it became this point when you're out on a night out, you would crave it then, just because you would have a few pints.
Associations.
Exactly. That's the word. And then, but gambling's exactly the same. You have a few, the football's on in the background, you're out with your mates and the drink's flowing, and you think, Ray Winston pops up on the TV, says, Liverpool are 7-1 to come back and win this game. And it gets in your head. People think they're immune to advertising, but they're not. It's all over the place. So
I've never blown 200 quid in a casino sober. It's just not one of the. It's so much of it comes back to bad decisions that I've made in other areas outside of alcohol. First ever series of Over the Influence we ever did. Every bad idea I ever had started with one pint.
It was Drew. It was Drew the drummer.
Bad decision I made started with one pint. And it's so true. It's so true. Yeah. Right. You want to talk, Shaz, about today.
Right.
The present day. Niall, the guy we see in front of us now. And many
yes, apps. I do. Yes, I do. The clock is against us, and I knew it would be, Niall. I knew it would be. I said to Ben, we are going to need a 3-hour episode to get everything in. We can't do that. So in the next 10 minutes, we need to squeeze in. You want to bring up some quotes with Ben, okay? I know you want to mention some people within the community, which is brilliant. We also need to somehow squeeze in the meaning of actual life itself in 10 minutes. Okay, so let's fast forward to today. The man sitting in front of us now, if you could sum up what it's been like for you over the last 400 and odd, pushing 500 days without booze featuring in your life, what would you say? Bear in mind, Niall, we've got 10 minutes left and we've got an awful lot to get in.
Yeah, like I said before, Shaz, it's just complete and utter freedom. Like, just knowing I can go away on holiday or lads weekend, still have a great time, and I have a better time now, a far better time. Like, I really do, and that's not me talking bollocks. I go out, and half the time my mates are back in the hotel asleep, and I'm still out singing songs to karaoke at 2:30 in the morning. It's and having that natural high then that lasts like 4 days rather than a hangover that lasts for 4 days, you know, that's freedom. Like I never need to feel that shitty, have those tsunami hangovers ever again. That's complete and utter freedom. So if you want me to sum it up, that it's one word, it's freedom. Yeah.
Ben is raising his eyes, not in response to what you've said. He's looking up at his quotes board. It's in front of him.
You mentioned quotes, and now, you know, I'm a quote enthusiast. What is it that you wanted to talk about when it came to
a quote enthusiast? That's the worst description ever. Oh, brilliant. Can we have a night out, Ben? It sounds a thrill a minute.
Okay.
I've got a fave here, Ben,
that I like, you know, knowledge.
Quote enthusiast.
Expanding my own mind.
Well, we're joined by another. Niall sounds like he's one
who
as well.
Who needs enemies?
Hit us with it. Come on, Niall.
Why are we talking about, what are we talking about quotes for?
I've got a bit of fave. Just fave quotes that have helped me on my AF journey.
Oh, okay.
The first two are cut from the same cloth, and you've probably seen me mention these in forum posts and that. The first one's, the king eats first. And it's basically just that it's the old thing goes back to, you know, why you should put your oxygen mask on first in the plane. Sort your own shit out first before you can, you know, worry about anyone else's, you know. The second one's, don't set yourself on fire to keep other people warm.
So it's, oh, I love that one.
Yeah, I think it's American actress Joan Crawford first said that back in the 40s or something. But yeah, that's a good one. You'll stop worrying what others think about you when you realise how seldom they do. That's David Foster Wallace. I know you've said something similar, Ben, a similar quote before.
Yes, it's from the American actor Aaron Eckhart. The day you stop caring what other people think of you is the day your life begins.
Yeah. Yeah, and that one just sort of helped me when it came to like sort of sober dancing or sober karaoke. And you just like, you know, just if you get up there and sing or dance, like that's the real fuck it button. You know, people say, you know, oh, I'm going to have a drink, but no, actually saying, being sober and saying, no, fuck you alcohol, I'm going to dance and I'm going to sing. You know, that's like Freddie says that have a drink, that's the fuck me button, you know, and she's right, you know, but the real fuck it button is just saying, no, fuck you alcohol, I'm dancing, I'm singing, I'm having a great time. So that one's helped me a lot. This one, Ben, I don't know if you've heard this before. Potential is no bloody good if you don't have the courage to do something with it.
Oh.
I really love this. I feel like we should ask every guest to pre-prepare quotes for the episode. This is so good, Niall.
Do you know who said that? That was Pete Postlethwaite in the 1996 movie When Saturday Comes with Sean Bean.
No way.
Sean Bean. OTI. What next?
We ain't got time for that.
So many people get stuck in this, you know, like learned helplessness trap of, you know, they might be in a job that they hate, but then they've always got their little window of alcohol there. But yeah, they, going alcohol free gives you a massive set of swingers, you know, where courage and confidence are like muscles that can be trained to grow, you know, when you don't have alcohol. But when you're drinking, it's almost like steroids. Dutch courage is like taking steroids. You might have big muscles, but they won't be your muscles, and the nasty side effects, like you might, apparently you get a tiny penis when you take steroids, whereas with alcohol free you get massive balls. So
get that on your crossboard, Anderson.
Yeah. You know what? No, I've got a quote here that I think perfectly sums up your journey. It's from Helen Keller. A happy life consists not in the absence, but in the mastery of hardships. How does that one land?
Yes, that's beautiful, Ben. Yeah. I need to get myself a coach board, actually. I need to get all these. We'll have a chat in one of your Saturday morning Zooms, and we'll dig into it a bit deeper.
Well, I've actually got a plan, Niall, which is, you know, Sharon's got a book out on the 2nd of January 2025, The Life-Changing Magic of Quitting Alcohol. She hasn't mentioned it, but she's got a book out. My plan is to release my own quotes book on the 3rd of January 2025, where she spent all this time writing, and all I'm doing is just collecting other people's knowledge and then hopefully massively outsell her. That's my plan.
Yeah. My sequel book will be called Shove It Up Your Ass, Ben. There you go.
Shaz, I saw your front cover the other day, Shaz, and I was a bit disappointed. I wanted like an Alan Partridge with a tennis ball, bouncing back. By Sharon Partridge.
Yeah, that's it. It should have been. Now I've got it all wrong. This episode has been epic. We have got 3 minutes left. We're nearly out of time. Niall, myself and Ben, well, first of all, thank you for just chatting so honestly and so personally on this episode. It has been fantastic. A final word over to you.
Whoa, Shaz. You haven't forgotten about the meaning of life, have you? We're going to come back to
the meaning of life. I have forgotten about the meaning of life. Oh, hell. Right.
Do you want the meaning of life first? Or
No, save that for the end. Save that. The floor is yours. Go for it, Niall. And then we'll come back to the meaning of life.
So many people I wanted to thank in the community, but I've sort of run out of time a bit here. But everyone on there, just the unsung heroes there, just the ones I could see there, like Camilla, David's Jordy David, like what a guy. Love that guy. Maggie, my brother from another mother, sister from another mister. Anyway. Gretchen's Bethany, my fellow stuck to me. Admin Ange, what an absolute. She's one of my favorite people. It's just others, just Aaron and Rebecca, the OTI twins, just watching them grow and they become super funny, super confident Zoom hosts. Hayden and Dan Ringshaw, they both mentioned me in their podcast a lot, and they were both speaking up for lads, this big Johnny J Dubs, he was the first ever OTI podcast to listen to him. It was brilliant. So, and Freddie, she's just my AF hero. So,
lovely.
But for you two, I want to read you something that I wrote on my 1 year anniversary, soberversary. So, thank you, Ben and Shaz, it's titled. Every decent cult, open brackets, only joking, winky face, close brackets, needs an extremely good-looking and charismatic leader. We're lucky enough to have two in Ben and Shaz. I won't blow too much smoke up your bums because I'm sure you've heard it all before, but I will just say that what you two have created in this community is genuinely life-changing. When you're both old and grey, you and your families will be able to look back with immense pride, knowing that you really did make a difference with your limited time on this planet. You may not see it directly, but I guarantee you have helped save marriages, mend family relationships, created job opportunities, prevented health decline, prolonged life expectancy, given people a meaning and purpose in their lives, and created an army of lifelong friendships. You two saints have done a hell of a lot of good in this world, and you will do a hell of a lot more. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Thank you, Niall. That's
Thank
lovely.
You.
Made Shaz cry.
Yeah, of course you did. You carry on. I get dead emotions.
Right.
Niall, thank you.
Niall, what is the meaning of life? If you say 42, we're ending this call immediately.
The meaning of life, this is just my opinion. You have to work it out for yourselves, but we are meant to be at peace. And when you remove the poison, you emancipate the peace.
Oh, I love that.
That's it. The other thing is,
go on.
You emancipate the peace.
Yeah, lovely.
And just in bracket sense, be nice and help other people. Be part of a community that's greater than your own importance, like this. And above all else, try not to be too much of a dick. I think if they write in my gravestone, he wasn't too much of a dick most of the time, I think I'll be happy.
Niall Davison, it's been an absolute pleasure. Just thank you. That's all we can say. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It's been emotional. Thank you.